So how should our love for God affect our relationship with fellow believers? Listen carefully as Brother Jerry Wilkins from the Wainwright Congregation presents the talk, Loving Jehovah Means Loving Your Brother.
Isn't it a beautiful thing for all of us to be together here today? You know, as soon as we drive in the parking lot, we feel like we're at home. We feel Jehovah's love. From the first parking attendant who gives us a parking spot and says, "Good morning, brother," we feel Jehovah's love. We're a family. We're Jehovah's family. We're the people that Jehovah loves, and we're the people that love Him. And it's easy to love Jehovah. When you look at all of the things that He gives us, He's so perfect. Can you find a flaw? Not one. It's easy to love a perfect person. It's the same with His Son. For all of the things that Jesus has given us, aren't we grateful? When you think in the future when He will ride out of the sky on that white horse and deliver us from this old system, don't you just love Him for that? It's easy to love Him because He's perfect. But it's not the same with an imperfect person, is it? Imperfect people tend to look at others' imperfections. And we can find flaws. It's not hard because we're all imperfect. So Jesus did something very interesting when He was on the earth. He knew that imperfect people who love Jehovah with their whole heart could be obedient. So in John 15 and 12, He said, "This is My commandment, that you love one another." He commanded us to love one another. It sounds kind of strange to command someone to love another, but Jesus knew we could be obedient. And we would do it because we were commanded. Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. Now, John recorded that commandment. And years after that commandment was given, he referenced it again in his first letter. Under inspiration, he wrote these words in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. If you cast your eye up when you find that scripture to verse 7 to 10, he's talking about how God loved us by giving His Son. And then in verse 11 he says this, "Beloved ones, if this is how God loved us in giving His Son, then we are also under obligation to love one another." So we're under command and we're under obligation. Aren't those great incentives? And then you add the theme of our talk in verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter. So the theme of our talk is loving Jehovah means loving your brother. Verse 20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet is hating his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And here he references the commandment again in John 15 and 12. He says, "And we have this commandment from him, that whoever loves God must also love his brother." So we're under command, we're under obligation, and we'd be a liar if we said we love God and we didn't show love for our brother. Have you ever heard it said that you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family? Can you imagine what it would be like if in every congregation an imperfect person was given the responsibility of choosing who comes into the congregation from the territory, who moves in and who moves out? Can you imagine what the congregation might look like in a while if that responsibility was given to an imperfect person? I can tell you what my congregation would look like. Notice how I said my congregation? Because I choose who comes and goes? Because of our imperfection, we would tend toward what our personal preferences are, wouldn't we? But you see, Jehovah draws people to the congregation based upon their right heart attitude, not whether their personality matches mine, which is how I might choose. So isn't it wise that Jehovah chooses our family? We can pick friends that we get along with better in that family, but Jehovah chooses the family. So because we're imperfect then, how do we make it better? Well, there's a few things we need to understand. First of all, we might catch ourselves saying things like, you know, I'd take a bullet for that brother. I'd die for that brother, but don't put him in a car group with me. You see, it's not the big heroic things that make us love our brothers. It's hundreds and even thousands of little things. So let's talk about three of those little things. Please turn to James chapter 3 and verse 18. It's not hard to pick out what the first one will be as we read this. So what is the first little thing that we can do to show love for our brothers? James 3 and 18. Moreover, it says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peaceful conditions for those who are making peace. So if we sense that there's some lack of peace between our brother and myself, how do we fix it? Well, here's what the Draw Close to Jehovah book says. It gives us some wonderful advice. So you approach your brother to make things better. It says you may need to acknowledge, not deny, his hurt feelings. If you approach him with the goal of restoring peace and maintain that attitude, likely any misunderstanding can be cleared up. Any misunderstanding. Appropriate apologies made and forgiveness extended. When you go out of your way to make peace, you show that you are guided by godly wisdom. So when we go with the attitude that we're going to make peace, any situation can be changed. When it says appropriate apologies, that's not, I'm sorry, and then we say in our mind, but it's still your fault. An appropriate apology is sincere and genuine. And if there's things to be changed, our brother should see that in us. So we go with the right attitude and we make peace. That's number one. Number two, please turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, as long as we have the opportunity, let us work what is good toward all, but especially toward those related to us in the faith. So, as long as we have the opportunity to do so, especially toward our brothers and sisters in Jehovah's family, we want to do whatever we can. Have you ever had someone say to you, perhaps with tears streaming down their face, you were the answer to my prayer. You were the answer to my prayer. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? What that tells you is that by you being sensitive, taking the opportunity, like Galatians said, to look for opportunities with our brothers and sisters, you are actually working along with Jehovah. You see, Jehovah was listening to that prayer of our brother and sister or sister who was in need. And you made yourself available and he said, I'm going to use you. And you showed up on the doorstep with a bag of groceries or a kind word or a tank of gas or whatever it was. You sat with someone who was dying. And when you heard that, you're an answer to a prayer. you were actually working along with Jehovah. Isn't that a privilege? Jehovah was using you to help his family. So that's our second one. Be alert and take every opportunity to give practical assistance to our brothers and sisters. Open your heart wide. If you've never heard that from someone, be especially sensitive when you're at meetings and listen to the conversations. Offer yourself. Say, is there something I could do for you? And without a doubt, you are going to hear those words eventually if you make yourself available. You will hear. You were an answer to a prayer. Our third one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, the B part. So 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at the word speak. So 5 and 14, speak consolingly to those who are depressed, support the weak, be patient toward all. So there's three things here in this scripture that we can do. We know that in our congregation we have those who are suffering from discouragement or even depression. So what is the advice here in this scripture? First of all, speak consolingly. Second, be supportive. And third, be patient. Here's an example from a watchtower from last fall. Here's a sister in Europe who says, at times I have suicidal thoughts, but I have a good support system. Notice there's the support part. The congregation I belong to has saved my life. The brothers and sisters are always very encouraging and loving. There's the consoling part. Although only a few know that I suffer from depression, the congregation is always there for me. One married couple are like my spiritual parents. They take good care of me, and they are there for me literally 24 hours a day. There's the patience part. So we can be consoling, supportive, and patient to those who really need our help, those who are suffering from depression or discouragement. Those three things can really help. And like our sister here says, her congregation saved her life. What a wonderful thing. So how are we doing in our circuit? Well, I can guarantee, brothers and sisters, it wouldn't take very long talking with some of our brothers and sisters to find out that our congregations are always consoling, supportive, and patient. You've helped one another through some grievous trials, and here we are all together today as a family, supporting one another. So well done, brothers and sisters. You're to be commended for your loving care for Jehovah's family. So then what do we need to do with what we've just learned? Well, we need to continue to imitate our great teacher, Christ Jesus. Follow his example. When we're dealing with a brother and sister that we've had some problems with, we're trying to make peace, or we're dealing with a brother and sister who's discouraged, we're tired and we're under emotional stress. Jesus was too at times, but he never talked down to them. He always talked lovingly to them. So that's what we need to do. We need to try to grow in love for our brothers, not let it be eroded by looking at their imperfections, but look at them in their perfections, what we'll enjoy about them in the new world. So here's our review question. Why should we love our brothers? The answer, 1 John 4 and 11 and 20 and 21. Jehovah God loves our brothers. We cannot claim to love God if we do not show love to our brothers. Jehovah God loves our brothers. We cannot claim to love God if we do not show love for our brothers. So in conclusion, friends, the next time you go to your Kingdom Hall, stop outside and look at the sign. Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. That's the building where people who love Jehovah meet, and the people who love Jehovah meet. Jehovah loves them, they love Jehovah. before you go in, let's make it our resolve to not love our brothers and sisters just because we're commanded, just because we're under obligation, but let's love our brothers and sisters because it's the right thing to do, and it's another way we can show appreciation for all the love that Jehovah and His Son have shown us.
So thank you, Brother Wilkins, for making clear how important it is for us to love our brothers and sisters.